Next up is Inside Finance. Inside Finance is a special feature of this program every week where we discuss in depth the financial and economic challenges of our time and explore possible solutions. Here is your host this week, Stanford Simon.
Pleasant good day to Grenada, Caracou, Peter Martin, and the rest of the Eastern Caribbean. I am Pastor Stanford Simon. It's a great joy to be with you once again as we continue to work together. There is something unique and powerful about doing things to make the difference in the lives of persons. And here, Inside Finance today, I have Mr. Timothy Antwine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. And as always, it is a joy to have him with me. And we're going to discuss some matters pertaining to the government, where we are, some of the development when we come to the restructuring program, and what else is happening within the Ministry of Finance. This is Inside Finance. I am Stanford Simon. We take a word from our sponsors. We come back. Continue my discussion here with Mr. Timothy Antwine.
In these troubled times, you need to wrap yourself around your faith and let your faith protect you. That's why we at the St. George's Baptist Church offer you a spiritual home and an extended family. We're not just a church, we're a community of believers who encourage and support your spiritual growth.
You gotta have hope, you gotta have something.
You're personally invited to our Sunday service at the St. George's Baptist Church at Springs. For prayer, encouragement, and worship, call 440-6325 or
409-1533.
Find your way home. Don't stumble in the dark.
And who will save your soul? If you won't save your own, and never, I know.
Welcome back. It's a joy to have you here today with me. Good day to you, Brother Timothy.
Good day, Pastor Simon, and good day to all of our listeners. It's good to be back on the program.
Well, we miss you. Your voice has been a very much a part of this program on an evening or in a morning, and persons learning as you continue to share with us from the Ministry of Finance. Thank you for sending the many persons that you have sent.
Well, for sure. I mean, we are a team, and as we continue this program, we expect to have all members of our team, certainly at the management level, come and share what it is that they're doing in the Ministry of Finance. It is not one or two individuals, it is a team, and a team of very hardworking individuals, men and women, working for Grenada. So it's been a real pleasure to see my colleagues come and to hear them express themselves in terms of what they're doing, what their role is, and their own contributions to the Ministry of Finance and Grenada's development.
Wonderful. Now, during the past week, we learned of an agreement between the government and its shareholders and its bondholders for debt restructuring. Please explain what this agreement is all about and explain to us who are the bondholders, because persons may be wondering who exactly is that.
Yes, so very important development indeed. I will say this is a most critical and decisive phase in our debt restructuring program. The agreement that we've reached with our bondholders, which are the people who own or with whom we owe commercial debt. So these are international financial institutions, in some cases banks, in some cases pension funds. They're in the US, they're in the UK, they're in the Caribbean, but they hold our bond. And that bond accounts for, I believe, around 37% of the total debt. So it's a very significant chunk of our total debt. And we are very, very pleased at this stage, after many, many months of negotiations, hard negotiations, that we're at a stage now where we can announce the agreement reached with our bondholders. And I, of course, want to remind everyone that under our homegrown program, debt restructuring is a very important component of that program. I've always said we can do what we are doing on the fiscal side in terms of raising our revenue and cutting our expenditure, but that will not by itself be enough. we do need to address our debt issues, because remember, 70% of every dollar we spend is on wages and pensions, the other 30% really on debt. So you have to attack the two biggest issues and the two biggest expenditure items in our budget. And so the debt restructuring is important. This announcement on the commercial creditors or the commercial debt follows on the heels of our announcement in January on an agreement reached with Taiwan, our single largest bilateral creditor. So we're working in a very systematic way. Bilateral creditors, commercial creditors, other creditors, Paris Club creditors, and we're working our way through. But this is an extremely important development. So what have we agreed to? Well, first of all, I think as we said in the release, we're talking about all bondholders, persons who have either U.S. bonds or EC bonds issued by the government of Grenada. And those would have been issued in restructured in 2005, first issued in 2002. Then we had the restructuring in 2005 after Hurricane Ivan. And now, of course, we're restructuring it. And we have consolidated a number of things in the process. So that's a total of $707.4 million that we're restructuring. We have been able to negotiate a 50% haircut, which basically means that we will cut that debt by half in two phases. First phase, half of that we get immediately when we sign, and we're working on the documentation to sign. And the second piece comes at the end of the program, the homegrown program. So there is an incentive in this agreement for us to make sure that we stay the course and complete the homegrown program. The creditors are making a sacrifice by giving us a 50% haircut, and they want to ensure that we do what we said we were going to do. They are satisfied that we're doing so far what we said we will do, but they want to ensure that we continue to stay the course. And so half of it is up front, and the other half we get when we conclude the program in 2017. So it's a 50% haircut, which means that you're talking about a reduction of $353.7 million.
Wow, that's quite a bit.
That's massive. That's massive. And this has not been easy. It has required us to demonstrate our own sacrifice at the level of Grenada. And it has also required us to negotiate very, very diligently, very assiduously. It's been tough. But, of course, we know what we need to achieve. We know what our goals are with respect to where we need to get our fiscal situation, how we need to get the balance right, so that we can manage our debt in a sustainable way. So that is a major, major development. In fact, when you think about it, that debt relief is going to be more than 20% of GDP. That's how significant it is. So this is a very, very important step. And obviously, I'm relieved that we're at this stage. Still a lot to be done. The lawyers are now at it, getting the documentation prepared for us to do the final sign off. But this is a very powerful signal to the international community that the creditors believe that we have a credible program, and they have committed now to partner with us by giving us this debt relief.
Your feeling about this debt reduction is that you believe that we have done our best to get here, and this is the reward of the hard work.
Yes, it is a reward of the hard work. Of course, I mean, this is just one step in a long process, because we still have to pay the debt, although it's reduced, which means it's more manageable. We still have to manage well so we can pay the reduced debt. If we don't manage well, if, for example, we're going to increase the public service and increase the payroll, and then we can't pay the debt, we have a problem. So clearly we have to continue to manage well. But it is, in fact, a clear statement by our creditors that they believe in what we're doing in Grenada, and that they're supporting our reform and our homegrown program. So I'm very pleased about that. I want to recognize the effort so far of everyone, including Prime Minister and Minister of Finance, who's been very, very supportive throughout this process. He's met with the bondholders on a couple of occasions when required, for him to intervene. And of course, he's done that, and he's let us do our jobs as negotiators. And we've worked very well together with our advisors, legal and financial, in that regard. Of course, my colleagues in the Ministry of Finance, the head of debt management, Natasha Marcus Sylvester, the Accountant General, and Mr. Obike, and Mike Sylvester, Deputy PS, among others, have been involved in the process. So I also want to recognize their own contributions. But it's been a massive team effort again.
Recently, the Prime Minister and the Vice President of Venezuela commissioned the Hugo Chavez LPG plant in the Queen's Park. What more can you tell us about this development, and how will this plant impact the Grenada market?
Okay, so by LPG, just to be clear, we mean cooking gas, liquefied petroleum gas. So that's cooking gas. Yes, so very, very positively, this week, the Prime Minister and the Vice President did open the Hugo Chavez LPG plant at Queen's Park, which signaled a very important phase in the cooperation between the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela and the government of Grenada and people of Grenada. The idea behind the plant really is poverty reduction, trying to make sure that we make energy accessible at the most affordable means for households, especially our poor households in Grenada. We all recognize that energy, you know, we cannot work, we cannot function, we cannot live without energy. It's crucial to the existence, to our lives. And the cost of energy, obviously, is a huge issue. So this collaboration is really an attempt by government, mindful of cost of living, to begin to try to reduce the cost of energy, and in this particular case, cooking gas. So, when the cooking gas goes on sale in a few months' time, I don't have an exact time yet. I anticipate probably by June, but we'll see. It will be lower than the existing price that what you get now. Right now, we're paying about $42, $43. It will be less than that. But the final price is going to be known in due course, and we obviously will advise the public. But the idea really is to make this gas available. But there's some very interesting features about the plant, about the product that I want to quickly mention. So it's a 20-pound cylinder, which is what we kind of used to. It's very light. It's made of fiberglass. I've been told that when full, a pregnant lady can carry it. And a little child can handle it without difficulty. So it's very light, which is good. It is safe. There are two safety regulators on it that you have to turn on before the gas is released. And that's to make sure it is safe. So it's light, it is safe. You can see the gas. You can see the level of gas. So you can know.
Which is important.
Which is extremely important. I mean, how many people have been baking a cake and your gas finish and you had to run? I think we all at some point have experienced that. You're not sure if you're going to finish. You have another one on standby, but you want to finish this one and so on. You won't have that difficulty. You'll be able to see exactly where you are. So you can monitor your consumption and you know when you have to top up and so on, and when you have to have your extra. So that's an important new feature. And of course, as I said at the beginning, it's going to be cheaper. So I hail the cooperation. And in fact, you know, I just want to say this. I know the people of Venezuela, the government and people have been going through a tough time recently. And our hearts go to them because they have been very helpful. And I, as somebody who has been in the Ministry of Finance throughout the recession, I understand better than many the value of the Petrocarib grants for our social programs. Venezuela supports Grenada with respect to our school feeding program, our textbooks, a number of social programs, without which life would be so much harder for a lot of the nation's youth and children. And I know we've got at least $130 million over the last 7-8 years from that agreement with Petrocarib. Yes, some people will say, well, it's debt you have to repay, but it's on very manageable terms. It's 1% over 20 years. We get a portion in grants that we can use for social program, and then you pay back on very easy terms. So it's not cheaper than the world market. I think I need to make that clear because some people are confused. Venezuela is not giving away its gas. It's in this case, diesel, which is what is sold to Grenelec through Petrocaribe. But by virtue of the arrangement, it allows us to put money into social programs and allows us to pay Venezuela a part up front and another portion over 20 years on very soft terms, 1%. So, I mean, that's a great deal. And during the recession, I must tell you, many countries, not just Grenada, many countries in the Caribbean benefited greatly from this initiative, without which life would have been a lot harder for governments and for countries in the region. So I just want to hail the cooperation between the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, the people and government, and of course the government and people of Grenada. And the LPG plant is a symbol of what, you know, this cooperation is about, helping people, making sure you give access to the most vulnerable households in a way that gives them an improvement in the quality of their lives.
Okay, listeners, I want to inform you that we're listening to Inside Finance. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back. You heard you trying to give much clarity to the question, and so we have a better understanding of what is happening. We take a word from our sponsors. We come right back, and I continue my discussion here Inside Finance with Mr. Timothy Antoine.
One call does it all. All your basic construction needs. Backhoe, compressor, bobcat, and acroprop services. Make one call. One call does it all. 443-2894 or 409-1533. For bobcat, backhoe, compressor, or acroprop services, call One Call Construction Services. 443-2894 or 409-1533. Make it one call.
Welcome back. I'm Stanford Simon. With me in the studio is Mr. Timothy Antoine, Permanent Secretary in the Ministry of Finance. Mr. Timothy, I understand that some unions have asked for more time for their members to file their income tax return. What does government respond to this?
Government's response is government will grant extra time. In fact, we will give them up to the end of April to be able to file a return. So we'll give them 1 month extra without penalty. In terms of late payment, of fees for late filing and late payment. I should just explain. I got a call from the president of the Grenada Union of Teachers, in fact, on the 1st of April, raising some concerns that many of his teachers, were not aware that they were required to file income tax returns at the end of March. I was a bit surprised because I know Inland Revenue had sought to send returns to the Ministry of Education for on sending to the teachers. I don't know what happened. It appears some got, some did not get. And I know in the same vein, public servants were also, it was sent to ministries. And some ministries seem to have distributed, others didn't. So there was some concern amongst the public servants, some public servants and teachers about the filing deadline. And let me say a couple of things. First of all, I accept that we should have done more public education leading into the end of the period. I know some was done, including on this program, but more needed to have been done. So I accept that. Secondly, I also appreciate the fact that for some of these people, many of them, this is the first time that they've paid income tax, and it's the first time that they're required to file an income tax return. So it is new to them. So I understand the need for perhaps additional information being provided, which is what we had sought to do earlier, but clearly not enough of that was done. I need to explain to people very basically that under income tax law, if you earn in excess of $36,000 a year or $3,000 a month, you have to pay income tax and you have to file an income tax return at the end of March. And at the end of March, you file for the previous year. So at the end of March 2015, you file an income tax return for the period January to December 2014. So you have 3 months after the end of the financial year to prepare your return and to file it. For many public servants, if your only income is government, then you have already paid your income tax because the income tax is deducted from your salary on a monthly basis. But you are still required by law to file a return. If you are earning additional income, for example, you have, you know, other things that you do, When you file the return, you have to declare that income, and of course you have to pay the appropriate tax on the income, 15% or as the case may be 30%, whatever, over $5,000. So some of us, for example, who sit on boards, have to pay income tax on our board fees. So that's not deducted in the month, but at the end, when you file at the end of March, then you pay those fees, you pay the tax on those fees, for example. So some people will not have to pay any more tax, but they need to file a return. Others will have to declare if they have additional income and pay the appropriate taxes. But in the spirit of understanding people's needs and perhaps lack of awareness about what their obligations are, the government has acceded to the request of the unions and will extend the period to the end of April, which is 1 month, to give them time to file.
Thank you for that explanation. I think it's going to be very helpful to all of us. Do you have any update for us on the Draft Electricity Bill Supply Act that I know that we're working on?
Right. So since the national consultation on February 25th, I must say that we gave 1 month for people to submit comments, and we closed those on the 27th of March. I want to thank all members of the public, individuals and companies who submitted comments to the Ministry of Finance. We did get some good, useful comments, which we are now reviewing internally with a view to revising the draft. One of the persons or players which sent comments is Grenlec. And naturally, Grenlec is a very important stakeholder in this process. And we got Grenlec's comments on the 27th of March. Following those comments, the government of Grenada and Grenlec's chairman, CEO, VPs of WRB and so on, the parent body, we met on the 1st of April to go through Grenlec's comments and concerns, and we have established a process for continued discussion on those issues so that we can take on board as much as we can those comments and find a way to revise the Electricity Supply Act. So I want to make it clear that the government is very much moving forward with the reform. We are discussing with Grenlec. We are talking to other people who've also raised concerns or offered comments or suggestions. And our hope is that in the process, as a result of this process of very open, transparent dialogue and engagement, we're going to have a very good revised a new electricity supply law. Mm.
Thank you for that explanation. Recently, the government of New Zealand is helping the government of Grenada with geothermal development. What more can you tell us about that and give a little explanation of geothermal? Because some person may not understand what that is.
Right. So geothermal is simply heat from beneath the earth. And what is it that we're trying to do? As part of our electricity reform, energy reform, we want to lower the price of electricity. We also want to reduce Grenada's carbon footprint. That is to say, our reliance on fossil fuels. So Grenada is, right now, the government is actively looking at ways to improve renewables, which is geothermal, wind, solar PV, and other possibilities. So, last September, the government of Grenada signed an agreement with the government of New Zealand to offer to explore our geothermal potential. And I don't know if people know this, but New Zealand has quite a bit of experience in geothermal energy itself, and therefore it has expertise that it can offer, and that's what we're getting. So, in the last few months, experts from New Zealand, a firm hired by the government of New Zealand, have been in Grenada reviewing our possibilities. The first thing they've done is to look at potential sites. So they've been working on the geology, which is to say, where are the hot springs in Grenada? So they've been looking for the hot springs because that's the heat. The heat comes from beneath the earth's surface, and they have to find those hot springs, that heat, that enthalpy, and then they have to basically, first of all, establish where the hot spots are, the hot springs. So that's the geology. Having found the sites, they then have to do the geochemistry, which is to analyze the temperature potential of the hot springs. How hot is this heat? Is it available, can it be used to generate electricity? So they're doing that, they've done that, and now they're doing the analysis of the samples. So they've taken water samples, they've taken other samples and so on, and that they've sent those back to New Zealand, and they're actually evaluating, assessing those samples. I must say they've had cooperation from a number of Grenadians, including or FAME, Telford Bido, who, of course, knows the island better than anybody else. Because some of the terrain that they're accessing is in the northern half of the island, and it's rugged and there are no roads. So you need trails and you need people who understand, you know, who knows the lay of the land, as it were, to do that. So Telfo and others have been very helpful in that regard. And, of course, the police and a number of players have been involved in helping the effort. And I want to thank all of the people who have been involved in the process, organizations, people in supporting this process. What we expect now, eventually, in a few months' time, is a report on potential sites that we can then look to explore. And the next step, once that report is in and we've established the sites, will be to develop the potential by being able to drill some wells and actually do some testing to establish prospectivity. And we are talking to a number of players. Obviously, New Zealand is helping us in this phase, but Japan has an interest. The Caribbean Development Bank has an interest, the Inter-American Development Bank, the British, and so on. Together, our plan is really to prove the resource. So rather than give it to somebody in the private sector and tell them, check and see if there's anything, we want to establish that there is something. And then when we establish that, do an agreement with somebody in the private sector to actually explore and exploit. That is a better approach than putting an agreement with somebody and telling you, well, if you find anything, then you could take all and give us a little piece. If we establish it, then we will get a better agreement for Guinea. Guinea will get more benefits. We get a fair agreement. The benefits, the proceeds, the profits will be shared more equitably with the people of the country of Grenada, and, of course, the investors. So that is why we're taking this approach. Some other countries have just gone and said, get the private sector to do it, and found that they have some very skewed agreements, which is lopsided and in favor of the investor. We want a balanced agreement. And that is why we're taking the step of proving the resource. And once there's proof that we have good geothermal potential, then we will enter into some kind of arrangement with a private entity. So that is a very exciting development going on.
Okay, almost out of time. I have a final question for you. I don't know how quick you could answer the question. How is the homegrown program going? And persons are asking, what are the projects that you have in store for us or on the horizon?
Well, the program is going well. And we talked about the debt restructuring, which is an important part. On the revenue side, the revenues continue to perform well. Just for the end of March, for example, I know customs was supposed to collect 18.8 million. It collected 21.1 million. And inland revenue was supposed to collect 25.7 million. Inland revenue collected 30.9 million. So that's a positive. Now, what are we doing with this money? We're paying down unpaid claims. We're fixing the roads. We're marketing the country tourism. So people have to understand, these monies are helping us to pay down bills that we have in the treasury that have been there for a long time, and also helping us to do some capital project like fixing some of our roads, which everybody agrees needs to be fixed. The monthly deficit has come down, and of course, for the first few months of the year, I think it was around $4 million. So it's definitely we're moving in the right direction. Projects. Well, there are a number of private sector projects which government obviously is supporting. I know Clark's Cold Bay Marina is in train. I know the Silver Sands is going to start in the next very soon. We obviously have a massive hotel project that we haven't said much about yet, but the agreement is being finalized on that. And then there are a couple other hotels in the making. Then there is some energy projects that are to come and so on. So, and another program, I could probably give some more details, but what I will say is that we feel optimistic that on the private sector side that we begin to see some improvement and some increased activity. And then, of course, on the public sector side, we manage in the way we ought to. So overall, I'm encouraged by where we are with the Home Good program at this stage. Mm.
Thank you very much, Mr. Timothy Antoine, for your thoughts shared. I appreciate it. And it's good when we can sit and talk like that. Information, even myself, I learned so much, and I'm sure my listeners learn a lot too. I want to thank you so much for coming on Inside Finance today.
Always a pleasure. Our job is to make it plain, make it clear. And we want to encourage people to write us, call us, send an email, tell us what you want us to talk about. If you have issues, we're happy to answer those questions. And thank you again for your support.
What's the email address and phone number there?
financegrenada@gmail.com. financegrenada@gmail.com. So that's the easiest way to email. Or you can call 440-2928. And that's my secretary will answer that number. And we'll be happy to take the calls and try to answer the questions as best we can.
Okay, folks, you can do that, and if you do, or you can get a question to me, stanfordsimon01@gmail.com. We'll be happy. If you have a question you want me to ask, the permanent secretary will be happy to do that. I am Stanford Simon. This has been a program of Inside Finance. Join me here next week at the same time, where we do this all over again, right here on this station. It's really a joy talking to the Ministry of Finance and talking to the permanent secretary today. Thank you so much for listening.
You have been listening to another edition of Inside Finance, a program that explores the financial and economic challenges of our time. Join us next week for another edition.